Jeff Groom, what a name, huh? No one wants to join the military anymore. Last week marked the 240th birthday of the United States. This year also marks, according to Lieutenant General Thomas Spear, the Heritage Foundation, when we question the sustainability of an all-volunteer force. As reported in late June by NBC, all branches of the military are falling short of their 2022 recruiting goals. The Army, for instance, has met only 40% of its enlisted recruitment target for the fiscal year. Now, that ends at the end of September. Those in the Pentagon tasked with attracting candidates have listed reasons they are struggling to meet their mission: lack of eligibility, COVID restrictions, putting a damper on outreach, blah, blah, competition from a robust civilian employment market. The Army is offering $50,000 signing bonuses. Like, these kids are athletes. $50,000. And they still can't get anyone to join. Why? According to the Army Chief of Staff General James McConville, only 23% of Americans aged 17 to 24 are eligible. Listen to this. I mean, I read this morning. It was blowing. Mind blown. I did not know this. What are the primary factors that make 77% of all men, young men, aged 17 to 24, ineligible for military service? Number one, obesity. Number two, drug use. Number three, criminal records. I'm surprised by two of these, because that means they have to leave their parents' basements. That mean drug use and criminal records. Well, unless the dealer is dropping by the house and just popping it in the mailbox when mom and dad are out slaving away for the fifth television. Several years ago, that number stood at 29%. Even more troubling, an internal Defense Department survey obtained by NBC showed that of those eligible, only 9% had an interest in serving. In the same survey, half of respondents thought that they would suffer physical problems if they joined. And 57% thought they would suffer emotional or psychological problems. It's almost like the last 20 years of failed wars and thousands of wounded warriors has made potential recruits reconsider their life choices. The risk of debilitating injury or violent death has not historically prevented Americans from volunteering, even during the first decade of the 2000s. As the U.S. invaded multiple countries and the military grew in size, there was never a deficit. So what's going on now? So this guy that wrote this, Jeff Groom, goes like, well, all right, I'm going to try to explain this. Let me explain this to you, Lucy. First, our citizens' feeling of connection to the U.S. is waning. As detailed in Sam Huntington's Who Are We in 1991, when asked, how proud are we? Are you to be a American? 96% said very proud or quite proud in 1991. Recently, Gallup released their similar annual poll and found that 65% now were extremely proud or very proud. Unsurprisingly, national pride was markedly high among self-identified Republicans, men, those over 55 years of age, and those without a college degree. Does it take a genius to understand that youths won't sacrifice for something they don't feel connected to? And in 2013, 44% of all military recruits came from the South. Georgia and Florida take the top spots in terms of enlistment rates, while the Northeast there lags considerably, with the exception of Maine. Gee, I wonder why all blue America won't join The Union Army, they once pledged their lives and fortunes and sacred honor to protect. Again, I am brought to the conclusion, long before anyone else is going to get there, the Union is over. It's over. Deal with it. This is no different than the Ukrainians trying to force the Crimeans, the Donetskans, and the Luganskans, and the rest of the Russian Federation to join Ukraine. The people aren't interested. They are not, you have nothing in common, or very little in common, I should say. Should have said very little in common with most human, kind, hating libtards. You just don't. But it's one army. It's not a red army and a blue army. It's an army, isn't it? They have just completely and totally botched this. I think it's intentional. Look, they separated the elites and who they think are elites from the rest of us. Why don't we just let them declare victory and leave? It's obvious that these people don't want anything to do with us. And when I say us, I mean primarily Southern Midwestern, and Western, but I don't mean California and the West Coast, Western conservative Christian Americans. Why put up with this? There is simply nothing to gain by remaining in this union. Yeah, well, we won't have a war on this continent. We already have a war on this continent being fought in women's wombs. We have a war that's being fought in doctors' offices. We have a war that's being fought in every government-run school. We have a war that's being fought between those young people who are as misguided and screwed up in the head as they are, really don't want to become the victims of the next Bobby Cremo. Or the next Salvador Ramos, whoever. As I said, as we've been covering the last couple of days here, they declared war. Their war's already on. Elizabeth Warren is declaring war against anyone who wants to embrace a woman who is having a rough go of it, is pregnant, but wants to bear her child appropriately, because there shouldn't be a choice. We are the only thing that is keeping them afloat. When we withdraw the graces that we bring to their sick, perverted endeavors, they will become all sick and all perverted all the time, and they will come to a crashing halt. Watch them start eating each other. This is what you got to understand here. They're not in the short run, they'll threaten to come after us. In the short run, they'll threaten to come after us. Then when they realize that they have no chance and they're not going to be victorious in coming after us and that we're not going to rejoin them, they still got to eat adrenochrome. So the few blue-haired, purple-dyed incompetents that just happen to accidentally give birth to children, yeah, that's food. The garden variety lesbian who really just was okay being in the closet, didn't even dress like a bull dyke, then wear the uniform, you know, the t-shirt underneath, the long sleeve, flannel checkered shirt over top, the hair cut like a crew cut, like they're going into the military, but one half of a dyed either lime green or passion purple, the bone ring. Trying to be a boy, right? Trying to dress like a dude. The ones that are confused They'll have to eat each other. I don't think they have a problem with that, actually. As a matter of fact, there are many days that I sit here and I wonder why they're... Why do they even want to wake up in the morning? There's a theory in philosophy, in Thomistic or scholastic philosophy, that every act every man takes is for a perceived good. Now, Elizabeth Warren's perceived good is obviously not your and my perceived good. I don't think it's good, and you don't think it's good. But Elizabeth Warren thinks it's good. The major difference there is not perception, though. It's reality. It's attachment to truth. So I want to talk about this, and I'm going to bring on my special guest, my special expert here, with the military thing and his story about how the recruiting is just, it's gone. Who wants to join the military today? Well, the ones that are joining, you know, there are families out there. We had a guy on last week, a listener that called, said that he had told his son, who said he wanted to join the military and follow in his footsteps, and he told him, no, I would counsel you right now, don't do it. This has never happened before, America. We should guide this energy, though, and this patriotism, if you will. First of all, it's guided towards true patriotism, true love of the land. Second of all, they don't have to go join the Army to get some military training, to get some small weapons training, to learn situational awareness, to learn how to march in uniform or in a company, to learn some Benedictine militaristic rules of conduct. You can do this in your own town. As a matter of fact, every small town in colonial America did this.